world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I think it's Friday morning, at least here where I live. I think it's Friday morning, and I got to be honest with you. I just get up every morning, and I try to do show prep. I get up at 5:30 a.m. and start show prep and the word and I don't know if I've ever seen. Remember this? Steve Quayle taught me this. Abahu and Adahu. By the way, I spoke with David Lankford yesterday. Going to have him on here now. In a couple of weeks, Pastor David Lankford, some really great issues I wanted to talk about with him. Anyway, Abahu and Adahu, Steve Quayle in one of his books taught me that Abahu and Adahu is void and without form. Void and without form is Abahu and Adahu, void and without form. And that ever since the creation of man and the fall of man, we have been on a, how do I say this? We've been on a decadent. We've been decaying. The culture and society is in a state of decay. And that's why Jesus, when Jesus came, he said that you were the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Do we know why? Hey, Spencer, this is a stab. By the way, we're doing communion, but I just want to throw this out there, Roy. Spencer, see if you can, real quickly, pull up the elements of salt. Elements of salt. Why did Jesus say that we were the salt of the earth? Why was it back in the times of Jesus that they traded in salt? That salt was a valuable quality that they traded. So when Jesus said that you were the salt of the earth, he knew exactly what he was talking about. Why salt? Why not sugar? Salt. I'm sorry, I don't have this all. Basically, salt. Well, I used to do a teaching on this because it's past the salt ministries, right? Well, salt is, first of all, salt is a preservative. You put salt on meat. They didn't have refrigerators. You put salt on meat, and salt kept the meat from dissolving. And then salt was also, well, that was a preservative, right? Salt's added flavor. Salt kept things from degenerating. Salt regulated, there it is, regulated the body. It was a preservative. You had to have it. It was for good. It would melt icy hearts. It was a de-icer. In agriculture, salt can be a soil conditioner. Personal health salt can be used in homemade toothpaste and skin scrubs and cleaning and gardening and religious ceremonies and chemical industry. Salt is like the most unbelievable element in the world. And Jesus said that you and I were the salt. We're the salt of the earth. We regulate the body. You die without salt. And we don't get it. And Jesus said that we're the salt. Matthew chapter 5, I think it is. Spence, pull that up. This is just off the top of my head. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said what? Blessed. And seeing them, look, again yesterday, I showed this. And seeing the multitudes, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went up to the mount. He left the multitudes and he went and spoke to his disciples. Watch this. Because we think on the Sermon on the Mount that he stood up there and spoke to everybody on what he did. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set down, his disciples came. So you get the picture? Got this big crowd out there, big concert. They're all there for the concert. And Jesus takes them all backstage. They all go backstage. He calls his homeboys backstage. And he says to him, because why? He's getting ready to do a concert. Get the venue. Get the picture here. Get the picture. He's getting ready to do a concert. And he says to him, boys, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Scroll down, Spence. Wake up. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the, he's telling this to his disciples. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile. He said, listen, you're going to go into a culture and a society that don't like salt. They don't like salt. And they're going to hate you, and they're going to persecute you, and they're going to say all manner of evil against you, and they're going to get the government against you, and they're going to lock you up in gulags, and they're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which are before you. You are the salt of the earth. So it seems to me that being the salt of the earth brings persecution. It brings persecution. Is that what it says? You are the salt of the earth. He just talked about all these people are going to hate you. And then he says, you're the salt of the earth. But he says, you better be careful. Because if the church loses its savor, how can it be salty? It's therefore good for nothing. What is? His people. It's good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the trannies and the homosexuals and the communists and liberals, right? So, dude, come on, man. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. City set up on a hill can't be hid. Come on, Spence. Say up, wouldn't they, here? Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but now they put it on the candlestick. The gospel's for everybody. Open your mouth and spread it. Let your light so shine before men. They see your good works. It glorifies your Father, which is in heaven. Don't think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't do that. Remember, he's talking to the disciples. He ain't talking to everybody. He's talking about those who are going to go into all the world and teach them to observe all his commandments. Wherefore, therefore, shall break whoever breaks even one of these little commandments and teaches men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, that dude, boy, oh boy. Okay, you with me? You with me? The church, American Christianity, has lost its saltiness. It's become sugar. We're the sugar of the earth. We try to draw people in with love. When the Bible tells us it's the fear of God that drives us to repentance. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God in most American churches. No fear of God. And you know, there's another, I told you about the scandal going on. I'm not going to talk around here. Big one going on in the central Ohio area. And it's why? Because the church decided it was a money-making operation. The Christianity was about getting more, and Jesus loves you, and he wants you to have everything, and there's plans, and you follow these plans, you do these networks, and man, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and rich, and that's what it's all about. And so their friends saw that they were getting rich, and everything was good, and everybody liked it, but see, they were getting sugar. They're getting sugar at that church. They got Christian diabetes now. The church has Christian diabetes, and we're seeing the result of it. What's happening when you get diabetes? Parts of your body start to rot and fall off, and have to someone get amputated. There's an amputation coming. Why? Because they chose to be sugar, not salt. What do we try to do? We try to lead people to the Lord with the goodness of God, and Jesus loves you. And I mean, that's all true. Praise the Lord. But it's the fear of God that drives us to repentance. Well, Spencer, see if you can find that, because people may think I'm making it up. It's the fear. Are you afraid of the Lord? Are you afraid that you might get caught? What? You, by the way, you are caught. You are caught. You just don't know it yet. And it's the fear of being caught that makes you repent. It's not the love of God that makes you repent. It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to repentance. The American church doesn't fear the Lord. Don't fear the Lord. Spencer's looking. He's trying to find Joe. I'll get you here in a second. I promise. You
go to Romans, coach, 11:22. Therefore, consider God's kindness and severity to those who have fallen. That is the kindness and the severity of God.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity. That's a boy. You don't hear that preached, do you? On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. And if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. You still didn't find that, Spencer? Fear of the Lord, just because I want, look, trust but verify. I could just be making it up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to repentance.
I believe it's Proverbs 9.
Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, not the love of the Lord, the fear of him. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. All right? Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be wiser yet. Teach a man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord, that's a jumping off place. That's just a jumping off place. And the fear of the Lord, for the most part, when's the last sermon you heard out in your church? And that church we're talking about here in Ohio that's going through this cataclysmic thing, they preach the love of the Lord and the abundance of the Lord. Come here and praise the Lord and you get more money. In fact, if you give us some more money here, if you give your money to us, you will get even more money then. Right? No fear of the Lord. No fear. Now, I'm not talking about the people. They're deceived. Those people are deceived. I'm going to tell you something. If you are in a church where they're preaching wealth and prosperity, run for your life. That ain't the gospel, baby. That ain't the gospel. Okay. Joe got up this morning all the way out there in California to lead us in communion. So, Joe, come on in. Thanks for getting up, man.
Thank you, Coach. 5:30, huh? Late sleeper.
Yeah, you're out there. It's what? It's 4:11. Is it 4:11?
Yeah, my first alarm goes off at 3:24.
Oh, dude. You're a good man, Joe. Hey, you can sleep all weekend. I give you permission to sleep in. In fact, you can take a nap later if you want to.
Oh, believe me, that's on the agenda.
Amen.
I'm reading. The reading today is John 6:45-58. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life.
Praise the Lord.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Wow.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Wow. Pretty clear.
Yep. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
See, there's a spiritual component to the fleshly bread, to the natural bread. There's a spiritual component to it, folks. And we're talking about life. We're talking about spirit. We're not talking about physical. Ever when you're reading the scripture, you're not talking about, No. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. the body. Remember, man, you're dust, and to dust it shall return. But there's a part of you, me, who will live forever. The Bible says the body goes into the grave. The spirit goes back to God. And the soul for judgment. That's what it says. I'm sorry if you weren't taught that. Go ahead, Joe. Didn't mean to interrupt. Yes, I did. I'm interrupted.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this day with gratitude in our hearts. And you are aware of our fear of the Lord that, as Coach reminded us, drives us all to repentance. But we here, Lord, have learned to come to you for more than that reason, but also for gratitude and love for all you've done in our lives, all you're doing for us now, and sending your only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's really impossible for us to comprehend what you did there, Lord, but we are grateful. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ would not have gone through what he went through if we were not worthy. So help us to be so, Lord. Help us to be worthy of the sacrifice made for us. And as we're here and are your ambassadors, Lord, let us step back from our own natural way that we would respond to things, but try our best to respond as Jesus Christ would respond. What would Jesus do in the situations we find ourselves? Help us to always remember that. And we know we will fall short from time to time, Lord. Actually, a lot, more than that, maybe. But let our hearts be doing our best to surrender and be as Jesus would be, and to discern the difference from turning the other cheek to turning over the tables in the temple. And Lord, you know our broken world, and there's so much that needs fixing. And we are grateful that a start is happening in our capital in Washington, D.C., that there's something happening there, Lord. And we ask that you move on those in power. We ask that you remind them that you are the true sovereign, and let your will be done, Lord. Let people that are nominated, that are there to change things and bring this country back to you, to being a covenant nation again. And so please stop all those that would hinder that. I do not know how. The tool that comes to my mind is the Brunson case, that if ruled on by the Supreme Court, could remove all of those who took the wrong vote that day in 2021. And a lot of those are still in the Senate and in Congress, Lord, but especially the Senate right now. But it's your chess game, Lord. You can flip the table. We can't. But we ask that you be with all those in North Carolina and other states who are still recovering from those terrible storms, and also in Southern California and these wildfires that have a lot of hidden truths to how they came to be and how they were then started, and to why they devoured so much of the city. We haven't been told the truth there, Lord. So please let us hear the truth of both of these disasters, what lies behind, and remove the politics, but just show good and evil, Lord, and help all those that have lost everything, that have lost so much. Restore them and give them your rest, Lord. Take their anxieties, take their fears, give them warmth, give them shelter, give them food, and let them have a quick recovery back to a normal life. And we are so grateful for our ability to take communion and to remember what was done for us. And we ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight in this moment. We ask that you remind us that this is the meal that heals, can heal our soul, can heal our body, can heal us where we need it most. And we ask you, Lord, that you send that healing to those on this call, whether in the live or the recorded call. Send it to them and let them receive it. Let them receive the healing that our Lord Jesus Christ bought and purchased with his stripes so many years ago. It's already paid for, Lord. And we bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, eat. This is my body." This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Flee and morality. Remember we talked about that last week? Flee immorality. See what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't know about you guys. I remember when I had my first beer. I'd never had a beer in my life till I showed up in 1971 at Otterbein College football camp. Didn't know anybody. They'd check you in, they'd tell you what dorm you were in. This preseason football camp. Went down there. I didn't know anybody. And I'd never had a beer in my life. Well, I'd had sipped my dad's beer, but I was 18. And it wasn't 2 hours, maybe three. And I was off hitting the bar with some of the older football players. They grabbed all of our freshmen up and took us off. And, you know, I knew it was a violation of the rules. I knew it was. Supposed to be drinking football. I knew that. But they were doing it. Well, so they were doing it. Well, they get away with it. I get away with it. I get away. Anybody with me here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The next thing you know, it's kind of become kind of like a regular part of my life because, well, they're doing it. Everybody, yeah, but coach, you said, you know, they're supposed to be drinking. You know, it's football. You're supposed to, yeah, I know, but yeah, I get away with it. We all get luck. We all do it. For frat parties, come on, everybody, right? That same thing happens in Christianity. See, we think we're getting away with it. It's the same thing, by the way, same thing that happens in the political realm. I don't think that every guy that goes to Washington, D.C., every representative goes there is evil. But they're very corruptible. They're very, very corruptible. And as we sit here right now today, could you guys, for $10,000, well, that's a stupid example, do you know a real Christian in Washington, D.C.? You know, how many do you even know in your life, really? Because truth be told, if you run into a real Christian, the world thinks they're weird. They're weird. Oh, he's religious. Oh, gee, he's religious. But you're not religious on the Super Bowl, huh? You're not religious on NFL and the Browns and the Bengals and the Buckeyes and the Bears. You're not crazy on that, are you? No. Just those people go to church. Those church people. And so there's really very few of us who are really open, unashamed, bold, proud Christians. Very few of them. Certainly not in Washington, D.C. And how long can we expect evil men to do good? And so the exposing of what's going on in Washington, D.C. by probably a really, really flawed man is going to be staggering to us. It will shake America to its very core. You know that, don't you? You know that? You know that the Epstein list is about to come out? Do you think it's just going to be Democrats on that Epstein list? By the way, I think it's just been Democrats been taking that U.S. aid money. Think that? Huh? You're not that stupid, are you? So you want me to believe that all the Democrats were getting all this money from U.S. aid and Republicans didn't know it? Well, they didn't know it. They're incompetent. Well, they knew it. Why do you think they hate Elon Musk so much? What do you think the GOP didn't really want Donald Trump to be their representative? Why do you think it was that when Donald Trump got cheated the first time that the Republicans didn't make a peep? Not only didn't the Republicans make a peep, when mom and pop America showed up in Washington, D.C. to make a peep, the Republicans sat by and watched them be arrested and thrown in jail and stay in jail without a trial. Folks, the Republicans did that. You know that. You know that, right? Why? Because Jesus told us that an evil tree cannot, not will not, evil tree cannot bear good fruit. Boom. And so we take evil men, we put them in positions of authority and power and give them all kinds of money and influence and perks. And we take these evil men and we expect them to do good. An evil tree cannot give good fruit. Now, hang on. Apart from Christ, every tree is evil. Do you understand that realization yet? Apart, there are none righteous, no, not one. But as Pastor Tim Tuber would tell us, righteousness has been endued upon us. God has placed, God has made us, called us righteous. It wasn't anything we did on our own. Nothing that we did on our own. He called us righteous because he also said, there is none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. And every one of us, every one of you looking at me right now, are subject to the same temptations that those guys in Washington, D.C., fell for, except you still had a functioning conscience to a degree. But if the truth were to be told, what would you do if you knew you could get away with it? Huh? What would you do? You knew you could get away with it. Would you go to Epstein Island? You knew you could get away with it? Would you take some money under the table if you knew you could get away with it? You know what we're finding? How about this one? The folks, the things that are being revealed. Did you know that George Soros, pull up number four. This is one of the greatest scams of all times. Huh? Did you know that George Soros, we're talking about George Soros getting all of his money and donating to all these evil causes. You guys know where George Soros is getting his money? Do you know where he's getting his money? U.S. aid. Our tax dollars are being given to George Soros. Republicans didn't know it, though. They didn't know it. Before it was shuttered, U.S. aid routed funds to Soros. They say George Soros is out buying prosecutors and he's out buying congressmen. No, we didn't. We are. And so we're at a crossroads right now. We really are. Huh? We're going to find out God save the queen. We're going to find out real quickly whether or not God's going to save America. We're going to find it out. And now I'm going to hate to tell you this. It's going to happen because he has to first cleanse the church. He has to cleanse the church. The church has become wicked and fleshly. Not all of them. Not all of them. But I know if I was running a church, I don't have a church. If I was running a church, I don't even know what that means. We are the church. If I had a congregation, I'd sit around and I'd watch all these, come on now. Watch all these money grubbing, name it, claim it pastors being on TV, people building bigger buildings and everybody coming. And I'm thinking, dang, gone. I'm here just laboring, doing the best I can. Doggone. I wish I could build a crowd like that. We have to be really, really, really careful, because if you want to build a crowd, you build a crowd through compromise. You don't build a crowd by telling them the truth. The only people who want to hear the truth are those who are seeking the truth. And if we look right now, I was thinking, I just had some wild dreams the other night. I said, how'd Joe Rogan get so popular? I think I'm pretty good at what I do. How'd Joe Rogan get so popular? Who told us, follow Joe Rogan? Who promoted Joe Rogan? I don't know. Somebody did, didn't they? Somebody did. Probably the same person that promoted Beyonce. Probably. And so poor little guys, pastors, good, faithful Christian men, are laboring hard in little churches, and they fight every day to keep their people from going to the mega church, because the mega church is the place to be. You go there with the smoke machines and the music and everything. Everybody in town is there. That's the place to go. You don't want to go to Clint Harper's little church. Are you kidding me? You don't want to go there. No, you don't want to go to what? King Jesus Ministries down. You don't want to go there. Are you with me, friends? And so whether we will admit it or not, we are all drawn by the flesh. All of us are. All of us. All drawn by the flesh. Christians. And the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. So we're going to see more of these fleshly ministries. They're going to collapse under the weight of the truth. It's going to come rolling down the road. And who's been influencing them? And who's been paying them? USAID. I mean, it's staggering where that money was going. It's amazing. Point number seven, real quick. I'm going to open it up here. I'm going to let you come in here. I'm just kind of venting here. Point number seven. Are we going to hear about Jeffrey Epstein? Are we going to hear or not? Are we going to hear about Jeffrey Epstein or not? Why not? Why aren't we? I know why. Because there are powerful people in high places that are involved. And we're not going to hear about it because it's being blocked. Is Elon Musk going to go there? Elon Musk? Is he going to go there? Epstein? Are they going to release the Epstein Island? Are they going to release the 911 truths and show us how wicked those guys behind the scenes were? Are they going to release the truth? Are they going to? Well, probably not, because why? Evil men cannot do good. They can't do good. So they're going to stonewall, and they're going to go get court orders, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that the truth is not marching on. You got to see this, friends, and understand it's a spiritual battle. They're all caught up in it. They're all caught up. Yes, Mel, Jeffrey Epstein had connection with Les Wexner right here in New Albany, Ohio, and Les Wexner, the Limited, was in the pocket of all those guys, all the politicians, taking them to Epstein Island, screwing little kids. Come on! Now, they want that to come out? Really? Both? Huh? So the Democrats are real clean and the Republicans, I'm sorry, Democrats are real dirty and Republicans are real clean. So the Republicans can't wait to post, just like me going back and drinking that first beer. Everybody's doing it. I knew better. I could do it and get away with it. And you can get away with it. You can get away with it. Pull number five real quick. I said this one. I'll play this one in a second. Pull up number five. Nancy Pelosi. Huh? Think Nancy Pelosi knew anything about it? Think she knew anything about USAID? Think she did? Go ahead and play this. It's real quick.
All right. 1987, 160K. 1995, almost a milli.
Stop.
Almost a
This is her net worth. Nancy Pelosi's net worth. Go ahead.
Milli. We just got to past 2000, exploded to 9 milli. Whoa, 08? She crushed it in the 08 crisis, almost 30 milli. A year later, 10 more mil, we're at 39. 2 years later, up to 47. Yo, this girl, she hit her trading stride. 59 milli in 14. Wow. Whoa, 68 in 2016, 79 mil in 2018. How is she growing it this fast? 2019, 86 mil. 2020, almost 100 milli. Oh, just another 21% return by 2022. Oh, nope, even more. Now she's worth 100. How? Best ever.
And then he looks at me.
Okay, so understand this, right? We ask ourselves, how do they continue to reelect her? Because she's got juice on everybody. She's funneled juice to everybody. She's got the mother load. She got the mother load. And so they make her Speaker of the House, right? Speaker of the House. Okay, now go back to which one I tell you before. Yeah. Okay. Here's what. Come on. Jeffrey Epstein list. They're going to release that? They're going to release 911. They're going to release the inside, what really happened on 911. JFK assassinations, gone to the moon. You're going to open up those files? John F. Kennedy said that in a free society, repugnant. The idea of secrecy is repugnant. And you know, I got so much stuff. I'll shut up and go ahead and play this. Go ahead.
Released a bunch of the flight logs in 2015. I released the Black Book and a bunch of the flight logs in 2015. I was the first guy that had them.
What names are on these flight logs?
I mean, they go anywhere from like Bill Clinton to, I mean, it goes all the way up the food chain.
Celebrities?
A lot of celebrities like Kevin Spacey, who we've since discovered is a twisted, sick individual. Now, Bill Gates, yes. The cover story on Bill Gates was that he met Epstein in 2011. The Evening Standard published an article on Jeffrey Epstein in 2001. And it said that Bill Gates and Epstein were doing business in the 90s. And Tom Hanks and Oprah.
What about Chris Tucker, the comedian? Because I said his name was on the flight logs. Is that correct?
Chris Tucker, yeah, he was on the flight logs. Tucker, Spacey, and Clinton went on the same trip to South Africa.
You believe there was children involved with Prince Andrew?
Yeah. I've talked to a victim of Epstein's. She was a little girl. She was given to a prime minister who beat her up. I mean, that's how he got off. And he would fly kids into the island and his buddies would molest them and then they'd make pornographic or child abuse material with them. I released.
There you go. There you go. Huh? So we think that Mitch McConnell is going to release that and rat out all his buddies, really, all the donors. We're in a mess, aren't we? We're in a mess. I got more. Let me give you good news real quick. Spencer, I don't even know if I sent that to you. Let me see. I didn't. I'm going to forward it to you right now. Hang on, folks. I'm sorry, I apologize, but it's important for you to see it. I don't know if in my lifetime, I've ever seen anything like what I'm sending to you now. Spencer, go ahead and throw that up there as soon as you get it, bud. So you again, I'm telling you this. If the church will arise, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. If the church, it's been my mantra for how long? Do you know yesterday an executive order eradicating anti-Christian bias, an executive order from Donald James John Trump. February 6, 2000, he issued an executive order to make sure that Christians were not being discriminated against. Would somebody do a boom? Would somebody do a boom?
Hallelujah.
Boom. Amen.
Boom.
Boom.
When's the last time?
He mentioned that in a prayer meeting.
What's that?
He mentioned that in a prayer meeting that they had in a ballroom where 2,000 people were gathered yesterday.
For that reason, the United States Constitution enshrines the fundamental right to religious liberty in the First Amendment. Federal laws like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, yada, yada, Title VII of Civil Rights Act, as amended, prohibits religious discrimination and employment with federal hate crime law, prohibits offenses due to religious animus. Yet the previous administration engaged in an egregious pattern of targeting peaceful Christians while ignoring violent anti-Christians. Well, I'm goosebumping. The Biden administration Department of Justice sought to squelch faith in the public square by bringing federal criminal charges and obtaining in numerous cases multi-year prison sentences against nearly 24 peaceful pro-life Christians for praying and demonstrating outside abortion. By the way, we sent him emails on this, didn't we? Hey, Randy, we sent him emails on this, didn't we? Those convicted included a Catholic priest, a 75-year-old grandmother, as well as an 87-year-old woman of the father of 11 children who were arrested 18 months after praying, singing hymns outside an abortion facility in Tennessee as part of a politically motivated prosecution campaign by Biden administration. I rectified this injustice by issuing pardons. At the same time, Catholic churches, charities, and pro-life centers sought justice for violence, theft, arson perpetrated against them. And after more than 100 texts, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution condemning this violence. And then in 2023, Federal Bureau of Investigation memorandum asserted that radical traditional Christians were domestic terrorists. This later retracted FBI memorandum cited as yada, yada. The Biden Department of Education sought to repeal religious liberty protections for faith-based organizations on college campuses. Yada, 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 yada. Transgender day of blah, 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 blah. And in this atmosphere of anti-Christian government, hostility and vandalism against Christian churches, places of worship surged with the number of such identified acts in 2023, exceeded by more than 8 times the numbers from 2018. Catholic churches and institutions have been aggressively targeted with hundreds of acts of hostility, violence, and vandalism, and Biden's administration will not tolerate anti-Christian weaponization of government or unlawful targeting of Christians. The law protects the freedom of Americans and groups of Americans to practice their faith in peace, and my administration will enforce the law and protect these freedoms. My administration will ensure that any unlawful, improper conduct, policies, or phrases that target Christians are identified, terminated, and rectified. See, when they didn't hire me as football coach, I should have sued their ass. Establishing a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. There's hereby established within the Department of Justice the task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. The Attorney General shall serve as the chair of this task force. In addition to the chair, the task force shall consist of the following other members: Secretary of State, Treasury, Defense, Labor, yada, 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 yada. This task force shall meet as regulated by the chair and take appropriate action to review the activities of all executive departments and agencies, including Department of State, yada, 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 and recommend to the head of the relevant agencies steps to revoke or terminate any violative policies, practices, or conduct identified under this order, and shall information share information, develop strategies to protect the religious liberties of Americans and advance the purpose. This goes on and on and on and on and on. Didn't know that, did you? Didn't see that on CNN? Didn't, why? Why? Boy. Say right there, the general provision, nothing in this order shall be construed to impair or otherwise affect the authority granted by law to an executive department or agency. Yada, yada, yada. Boom, 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 boom. Pretty good for Mason. Point it, Kevin.
Pam Bondi is the one that's going to break the Epstein stuff, because she's been on that for a long time, back when she was Florida Attorney General. So I believe
we're going to be shocked. We're going to be shocked. Get ready. We're going to be shocked.
And then Cash Patel is going to be he's going to be the rake in the.
They're fighting him up with everything they got. Everything they got, they're fighting Kash Patel. He must know where some bodies are buried. Dale.
Amen, Coach. So I got my little punch-out list here because I got so much doggone stuff. You know, you're talking about Pelosi. You know, the deep state, they looked at Pelosi and they said, we want her because her crowd that votes for her are dumb, right? Downvoting crowd, so they're easy to reelect. And we're seeing AOC being set up in that same thing because if you look at the demographics of where she's at, that those are unfortunately ignorant, stupid people. SCOTUS, you remember Lynn Woods back in 2020? Woods came out with a long, lengthy video. Who's on that Epstein list? Oh, why? John Roberts. Right? There'll never be a term limit, right? Because they know that's the gravy train, and they know if they did that, they would lose all powers. And I think our enemies are sitting back waiting for our civil war, which I think is coming here in America. And when that happens and it weakens us, they're going to pounce on us. Remember this. I'm probably line up with you with my eschatology, but when I've done many studies, you know what nation I do not see in Daniel and I do not see in Revelation? Oh, why? USA. It's America.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Oh, boy, what a time. Where am I here? I want to get JR in here. Come on in here, JR. Then I'm coming back to Jeff. Go ahead, JR.
Thanks, Coach. A couple things. I've been contacting Costco about their DEI program. And I know that Christians are being discriminated against, but the target is white, male Christians.
You've been listening to Coach Dave Live? Have you been listening to Coach Dave Live? Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
I told the guy that I talk with that makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm a Costco member. I enjoy going there, but you have a program. DEI assumes somebody is doing something wrong.
Right.
Somebody's being discriminated against. Who's doing that? Well, yeah, it's the white Christian male.
Yep. Amen.
And go after him. By the way, I'm having Bill Dunphy on our last call program tomorrow morning, 10:15 a.m. I'll put the link up there. Wow, what a story.
JR, I was going to give you some time here this morning. I got a rat on talking about what the idea that we have to move now, JR. We have to move. We just can't come on here. That's what Randy said yesterday, running our mouth. Randy wasn't trying to offend anybody. Well, yeah, folks, we got to just quit talking about it. We got to do it. And Jay, I tip my cap. JR is a doer, man. He's a doer. And if we could get more people to become doers, I believe we can. I believe we can move the ball. Anything else?
We need to be the church, Coach. We need to be the church.
We need to be the church. Amen. Amen. Let me get Rochelle in here. Good to hear you, Rochelle.
Good morning, team. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I listen to you every morning, guys. Just over on Rumble. But I heard your intro today. It was great. And I just wanted to kind of tie some of my thoughts in about what you said about Joe Rogan, uh-huh. And why, yeah. What's going on. You know, he's got this gift of personality, yeah. And he uses it to lead Americans down this road of decay, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about it. He had Elon Musk on there, and they want to get up there and smoke a joint. And this is a proving of an addictive lifestyle. And believe me, guys, you know, that is addiction is bondage. Okay. I mean, look at fentanyl, look at all the deaths, look at all the lives that just get lost because they don't do anything. So when you give approval, when people behind the scenes prop this person up so that they can lead America down this decadent road. And then one day we look up and we're like, what's happening? And on the thing about the Epstein photos. Okay. All of these people we look up to, okay, what are they going to give us? The entire redacted list? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to point this out, but Trump hung out with Epstein for a very long time.
He sure did.
And actually, they were buddies until they had a big disagreement over some real estate. So we have to look at these leaders and who they're surrounding ourselves with. Trump also brought Bill Gates in for a three-hour dinner. I'm sure they just talked about grandkids and stuff. And who's he surrounding himself with? Big AI. You know, we're all worried about the mark of the beast. And when the guy that is in charge is bringing in everything it needs to set up the beast system, I think we should be questioning what road are we going down?
An evil tree cannot bear good fruit. RJ, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. Greetings from Oklahoma. So, There's a lot to say. I'm going to be real brief with this.
There's a lot to say.
The perpetrators on that Epstein list, they all point to and they get funds from a key organization, institution that was behind the assassination of JFK, and that would be your Zionist AIPAC types.
Well, all the money, stop it now. Stop that.
Yeah. There you go. That's only part of it. Unfortunately, right now, what was that? You know, this is in line, though, with the anti-Christian bias thing, because that's what the Talmud is all about.
Right.
If you read into that thing.
Yep.
Now, here's the saddest part, and it's a matter for prayer, is that what was the gift that Netanyahu brought to our president? Something about a pager. There's a golden pager. Anybody see that with Stu Peters? I think it was Stu Peters. Maybe it was someone else. But that dude is on it. If you want to see what's really going on, he's holding their feet to the fire. So it's up to us to pray through this thing, because Trump is in it. He's in a pickle with his connection with Netanyahu and the government.
He is in a pickle. Yep.
Yeah. So that's it for now. Thanks.
Yep. He is in a pickle, because reality is he's really, really Donald Trump. Can I tell the truth? Or does I have to worry about people going to get offended? Donald Trump is in the Zionists own Donald Trump. They own him. So here's the thing. A lot of you think that's good. One minute, not you. A lot of American Christianity thinks that's good, that Israel owns America. Because why? Lines up theologically with their eschatology. Right? I don't like the fact that can I tell you what I think? So am I allowed to do that? Let me ask you something. Is Bibi Netanyahu a Christian? I don't think so. And what does the Bible say, that an evil tree cannot bear good fruit? And we expect Israel being led by a non-Christian believer to bear good fruit? Sometimes I think we're dumber than rocks. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, I'll share this. I just read this morning, and I'm not going to use any names.
Good.
With this thing going on here in Central Ohio, just had an attorney post something. I know the attorney, and he's ran for public office. He's part of the Republican Party. I know him.
Okay.
He's explaining that none of the commissioners can do anything, the other two. He's also said the local sheriff can do nothing. Local sheriff here is just voted in a Republican, new guy. He's also said the prosecuting attorney can do nothing.
Can't do anything about what, Jeff?
The scandal that's going on here.
Okay, gotcha.
Can't say or do anything against that person, that individual.
Okay.
So that's sheriff, prosecuting attorney, two commissioners. Then he said also, because he's trying to explain, people are just mad. They're upset. They're asking questions. He said also the prosecuting attorney, Dave Yost, can't do nothing. Because here's the reason. Said right in this article, because he is good friends with that individual.
Yeah.
Who's going to do anything?
No honor among thieves.
That individual does not have to step down. They don't have to. If they don't want to, they don't have to.
No honor among thieves.
It's probably that person has contributed to all of their election campaigns.
Yeah. No.
He said it.
And they're bought and paid for.
That'd make you good friends, wouldn't it?
He said in there that they can't do anything because they vote on the budget for each position to pay the people. Ah, here we go, money.
They're and cowards, man. Dale, come on in. Quickly, we've got 5 minutes left here.
I'm sorry.
Your hand's up, Dale. I'm sorry. Did you not? Nope. Okay, that's good. That's cool. All right. Well, I'm trying to work him in. So judgment begins first at the house of God. It just does. It just does. And so we look around all the corruption we see everywhere in America. Where did that corruption come? Well, because what? Where do we start out today? We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. Church is good for nothing in the culture and the society. Jesus said that. Good for nothing. You're the salt. But if the salt, I don't know if you know this or not, you have to get salt out of the shaker. And churches are nothing more than just big salt shakers. And they never get out of there. And because we never get out of there, injustice, wickedness is everywhere you look. And what's our solution, church? Vote Republican. Now, this will make some of you nervous, and it's okay. In my 72 years of being alive on this earth, I never saw any president stand up for Christianity like Donald Trump. Never one. Now, you can say what you want to, what his agenda might be. As I've said over and over and over, he is saying, come on in, church. The door's open. Come on in, church. And now he just said, hey, church, come on in, and I got your back. Come on in, church. Come on in, church. Now, does he have another agenda? I don't know. I don't know. But can we, the people, the body of Christ, become the salt of the earth and get engaged in our government and change things? Or are we going to sit around and wait for the evacuation? But to me, that's where we are. If we're not the salt of the earth, hell yes, it's going to get worse. Pastors won't even talk about politics from the pulpit. Amazing. Dave Allison.
Well, we know this for sure. Donald Trump is not trying to lull the church to sleep. They're already comatose.
That's right. That's right. He's trying to awaken them, isn't he? I think, are you looking at me? I'm not sure I trust him. He might have other motives, but can you imagine an overwhelming surge of Christianity into that government? Could he do anything about it? Could Donald Trump stop that? We know what Biden tried to do, Merrick Garland, bite your lip. They targeted Christians. Can you imagine if we targeted blacks, or heaven forbid, targeted Jews? Okay, I'll say that too, Lord. Trump just passed a ruling. You can't speak out against Judaism. Did you see that? What? Anti-Semitism? I thought that was free speech. I thought in America I'm allowed to hate whoever I want to hate. I'm allowed to say whatever I want to say. Spencer, I didn't even know if you can find that. I don't know if you can find it, Spencer. See if Donald Trump, anti-Semitism. See what comes up. Yeah. Of course, he's got Paula White standing around him, telling him that, Department of Education, anti-Trump agenda, wants to probe the explosion of anti-Semitism. Is there an explosion of anti-Semitism? Anybody seen that? Explosion. Oh, Trump administration opens anti-Semitism inquiries. What? I don't know. I just work here. Trump administration, what's it say? Go back to the top of that, Spencer. What's it say? An executive order to combat anti-Semitism. Can somebody help me? Is anybody out there seeing anti-Semitism in America? That's the one thing you're not allowed to be. Well, yeah, I see it. It's the one thing you're not allowed to be. Michelle. Jeff, your hand's up. I didn't know if you wanted to come back in. Michelle.
I was just going to say that anti-Semitism is any criticism of genocide going on in Gaza.
What does that mean? That's right. What does that mean, Michelle? What does that mean?
That's right. We've got these young kids in colleges who have been prompted to stand up for human rights because they have now, there's 90% of all the buildings in Gaza are now destroyed, along with the lives, people, babies, Christians. Nobody's talking about it. And when anybody does, they're an anti-Semite. That's right. That's what that means.
Gotta watch it. Jeff Klein.
Real quick, Coach, this is something I figured out yesterday. Think about it. If you want a platform, like the county commissioner's office and I think our city council, their meetings are live online now. So you go in and speak, and that's what I told them yesterday in the meeting. Online, I said, the reason why I'm here is because I'm a taxpayer, a Christian, and I'm here to be a watchman on the wall. So people listening, somebody might get a little spine there at that point and say, you know what he's doing? I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. Certainly won't be a pastor, though, will it? Won't be a pastor.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. See you Monday.